comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be. All around this beautiful, beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. You could be doing a million other things, but you chose to be here, and I want you to know I appreciate that. I really do. I'm here because you have a right to know and because you matter. Well, this weekend is the weekend for this month's Alternative Universe Eye Conference, and it's going to happen on Saturday. Now, some of you already have your tickets, some of you have been putting it off, but putting it off is not going to be an option much longer because ticket sales close tomorrow. I will keep the ticket sales open for as long as I possibly can tomorrow. But we have to close the ticket sales tomorrow. And so that means that you probably have a little bit less than 24 hours left to get your tickets. So if you haven't got your ticket, well, nobody can fix that but you. Now, look, the Alternative Universe Eye Conference is absolutely paradigm busting. It is absolutely unique. Nobody else, and I mean no one else, is doing what we're doing with the Alternative Universe Eye Conference. And one of the paradigm busters, it's not the only thing about our conferences that's a paradigm buster, but one of the paradigm busters is the price. It's only $10. $10. Now, I know sometimes it's a stretch to get your hands on an extra $10, especially in these times in which we're living. But you cannot possibly find another conference anywhere that you can attend for $10. These are not pre-recorded presentations. These are live presentations presented directly to you. So they're not speaking to a bunch of people in a conference hall and then we're just streaming it and you get to be a spectator on the sideline. That's not how this works. There is no conference hall. The conference hall is your living room, your office, or wherever it is that you watch live streaming video, because we're broadcasting straight to you. And then there's a question and answer period at the end of each of the presentations, just as if you were in a conference hall listening to a speaker. You are. You're in your conference hall listening to a speaker, watching the presentation, and then you get to ask your questions of the presenter. All right, so how do you do it? How do you get your ticket? Well, you go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. And click the gigantic link that says Alternative Universe Eye Conference. Now, if you can miss that link, you probably wouldn't be able to see live streaming video. It's huge. Click it, get your ticket, and then you get to be in on the conference. We'll see you at the conference, I hope. We're going to step away for a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about one of the biggest questions anybody ever asks, and that's, when you die, what next? We'll be back. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. You know, there as we face the cosmos every day, there's far, far more that we don't know than there is that we do know. And I think, you know, just about any person of, you know, normal intelligence does have a few cosmic level questions that they ask from time to time. And we wonder about those things. You know, and sometimes, you know, we find answers, and sometimes we get close to an answer and we have to keep looking, and we get a little closer, and then we keep looking and we get a little closer. It's in the looking, it's in the seeking, it's in the act of doing that, that you're doing something that can lead to finding. One of the biggest questions that anybody has is, what happens when you die? Do you really die? For some people, there is this you know, deep-seated belief that we are nothing but a collection of biological accidents and morphings and mutations, and we're chemistry and electricity, and when you die, that's it. There's nothing else. But some people don't buy that. Some people say there's got to be something else. Well, it's a big, big question. And my guest tonight is somebody who deals with those kinds of questions and that type of information all the time. He's an internationally known author. His name is Doug DeLong. And he writes about and speaks about those things all the time. Doug, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Great. Thank you for having me on the show. This is wonderful.
Doug, why are what is it that got you interested anyway in all of this stuff about what happens on the other side, and is there such a thing as reincarnation, or is it over when your body dies? What got you interested in all of that?
Well, Kevin, it started when I was a child. I used to be able to see auras, the colors around people, and I'd wake up, I'd see guys and angels floating beside my bed or looking down at me. And I even saw some of these beautiful people with these beautiful gowns smiling, reaching down, touching my head. And I'd watch some of them, and they'd actually start, when I woke up and looked at them clearly, they'd start to disappear, like a Star Trek show. And I had that ability for many, many years until I was about 12. I'd ask family what was going on. Nobody seemed to know. They told me it was my imagination. And then around 19, I had a near-death experience. I ended up having bowel resections, gallbladder operations, and operation after operation, and I came very, very close to dying. I was lying at one point in the intensive care of the hospital in my hometown, and I was lying there. It was an absolute agony. The old-fashioned stitches on my abdomen actually blew open, and everything was just hanging there. And I was drifting in and out, and because my heartbeat was so slow, they couldn't give me anything for pain at the time. I was begging for something, you know, please take it away. So one night, I was lying there in the bed in pain, and I looked over. I could see the male nurse across from me reading a newspaper. And as I'm watching him, suddenly I can feel this tug, this strange sensation. I was up here, and my consciousness in my head, and then it moved down. And into my stomach, all of a sudden, I floated out of my body. My soul or my astral being came out of my body. I was 19, I didn't know what was going on. And as I floated above, suddenly there was no pain. I was looking at this white, pasty, skinny little body, the tubes coming in the stomach and the nose and everything. And I didn't want to go back in. From that point, I drifted over to the male nurse and see what he was doing. And, he was reading sports action paper. I kept trying, hovering above him, trying to wave his attention. He couldn't see me. I couldn't understand why. From that point, I floated around from the station around to the other side where there were glass cubicles with patients in. And I floated into one, and there was a man that recently had a heart attack. He was lying there. He was with his eyes shut. I floated above him. And he opened his eyes, and he looked at me, smiled, and waved. So I waved back. And curiously enough, he passed away the next day. From that point, I actually drifted down out a doorway, down a hallway, into the morgue. It's like watching some of those movies, Bones and all of them nowadays. We have the cold morgue. And I didn't know why I was there. After that point, I literally shot through the roof and ceiling of the hospital. I could see lights, again, like Star Trek, all these lights shooting by. And I was in absolute no pain. Felt wonderful. Not relaxed. I didn't want to go back. And I kept going, shooting through these lights. And up ahead was a tunnel of light. And I wanted to go in there. I could see some type of movement, some type of people over the other side. And as I headed towards it, two angels, two beams of light, one on the left, one on the right, came up to me and stopped me from moving ahead. And they didn't say it on a physical level, but on a, psychic level, intuitively, they told me, no, it's not your time, you have to move back. And of course, I didn't want to, but reluctantly, I turned around. They guided me, and from that point, I came back down, shot through the roof of the hospital into the intensive care unit. And as I got there, I floated down, looking at this pain-ridden body. And in my soul form, I could see and sense my astral form, my hands reaching out my legs and trying to keep me from coming into this physical form. And I ended up settling back into my body, and it's like going in the piece of cold clay, and as I settled into the body, suddenly all the pain was back, all the problems, and that's when I rang the bell, the buzzer, asking for help. The male nurse came over, checked my blood pressure, heart, and all that, and he says, okay, your heart beats strong enough, we can give you something for pain, some morphine. Gave me morphine, and from that point, it was a profound experience. I started noticing slowly that I could start seeing more as lights and colors around people again. I started being able to get my intuition stronger. And again, slowly, I started to see and sense angels and spirit guides. And I do that now. It can be quite disconcerting sometimes to be lying in bed sleeping, and something will wake me up. And sure enough, there'll be a beautiful angel floating above me, looking down at me, or sometimes the angel, male or female, will float above my wife. And I've also seen some cases when I open my eyes 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, there's a face about 5 or 6 inches away from me looking down at me, and it can be quite startling. So after that point, I got back into looking at spirituality and getting in, doing a lot of research, and it was a profound experience for me. I did a lot of studies in metaphysics, parapsychology, reading anything I could on these subjects. I was absolutely fascinated with everything. From there, I eventually became a past life therapist, spiritual teacher, and I've been able to work through the years. I've been blessed working with a lot of people. Some have even had cancer come to see me for a past life regression, or what I call a soul healing technique. And because I have the ability to see the auras, the chakras, and the energy around people, as they sit across from me, I get this wonderful color show going on, especially if someone can feel the energy of the chakras within the body, the 7 major chakras. I'll watch and look above the person's head as I'm guiding them with the energy. And because some of them are what I call a natural energy feeler, they feel it flowing through their body, I'll watch these beautiful lights coming down from the top of the head, down across their face, flowing up and down through the body. And then several years ago, I started seeing an overlay of a face of an angel looking back at me. The person that I'm working with could have had brown eyes with their eyes shut, but then I would see this beautiful angelic face, ethereal, looking back at me with blue eyes and just staring through me.
Well, when did you begin to write about all of this?
I wrote my first book probably about 12 years ago. I was writing articles before that, anything I could on astral travel, reincarnation, chakras, auras, And my first book came out, Ancient Teachings for Beginners, originally in 2000, did quite well. And I had my second book, An Ancient Healing, come out in 2005. My first book's actually had a resurgence. The cover's been redone. And I just wrote about what I was told to, what I sensed and felt. And sometimes I astral travel, soul journey, out-of-body experience, whatever you want to call it. I'll go up into the heavenly fields. I'll talk to angels and guides, or even loved ones that passed over. Say my mother had died from cancer 8 years ago. I've had conversations with her in the past. And I'll go into a place where there's a teacher or a guide that will show me information. And sometimes I can remember it consciously. Other times it's as if it's downloaded into my brain. And I'll come back in, float into my body, and I'll be inspired to write something. And that's how I put together the first book and, of course, the second one.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, you've described for us a near-death experience that you had. And it's in some ways similar. Of course, I guess each one of them is unique. But in some ways, there are some similarities with other near-death experience accounts that we have heard. But I surmise from this that you, number one, it is your belief and your experience that when the body dies, it's not over.
And, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And, well, and it's kind of like it ain't over till the fat lady sings, and there ain't no fat ladies on the other side. So it continues. Because you also mentioned that you do past life regressions, I surmise from that that it is your belief that reincarnation is a reality. So let's talk about the one thing nobody really likes to talk about, and yet it's the only thing we arrived here on this planet guaranteed we would do, and that's die. There's no other thing we were ever guaranteed would happen to us. When we were born, we were guaranteed right then that one day, physically, we're going to die. Okay, so then the question is, what next? But because of your belief in reincarnation and past life regressions, it's not only what happens next, but what happened first? what happened before I was here? And so let's talk about past life regression for just a little bit, to talk about what's been going on before we got here, right here and right now. And then we'll go from that to what's next. But What are we talking about here with past life regressions? Is it's hypnosis and people are remembering previous lives? Is that what it is?
Partially. The way I do it is similar to hypnosis, but I use what's called a chakra flow induction. And that gets a person to an altered state. They feel energy flowing up and down through their bodies. And they will either remember a lot of stuff from a very deep altered state. In a lot of cases, as I stated, they will actually start to float out of their bodies and start accessing information, sometimes going up in the heavenly fields, other times they'll get some past life information. Now, when you brought up the question about where we come from, I know that we have an eternal soul attached to our God, our Creator above. We're a part of the divine spark. And we're up in heaven, and when we're ready, we pick out our proper parents, where we're going to come, what sex we're going to be. It's almost like it's prearranged. We decide to find what's greatest, what is for our greatest spiritual growth, and we all decide upon it. And then as a soul, we actually come down and hover around a pregnant woman. And that's why sometimes you look at a woman when they're pregnant. It's because they have both the aura, the energy of the unborn child, this beautiful soul, flowing in and around them. And then the child comes into the body, of course, and starts the cycle. Now, a lot of people will say to me, well, I don't believe in reincarnation. But if you look at this, Kevin, if you believe, and most people do, you have an eternal soul, you're born into a body, and as you said, at the time of death, then your soul slips out, goes back to heaven. So if you can do that once, why can't you do it again? That's just a little argument I'm throwing out there for people.
I understand what you're saying. Now, one of the things that I've noticed, I've read a number of articles that have the account of someone who has gone through past life regression. And almost all of them, the account is, I mean, when they go into a past life and, you know, it's they find out they were Napoleon, or they find out they were Julius Caesar, or they find out, you know, they were Geronimo. They're always some big superstar in the past. And then, you know, here they are now, and they're not a big superstar, and you wonder, what happened? Did they get demoted? But I also wonder, how is it that everybody was a superstar in the past?
That's a really good question. I've probably regressed well over 1,000 people, probably closer to 2, whether it's personal or in groups, and I found very, very few people were actually famous in the past life.
Really?
They've gone back to lifetimes where they're fishermen or they soldiers or many things like that. A lot of people, a lot of women will think, well, I was Cleopatra in the past life. But there's just, you have to look at the fact that there's many people and all these souls that come back over and over, and they weren't necessarily a famous person in the past life.
Okay, we're just a little bit less than a minute from break, but I guess the deal is that coming back as, if in your past life you were a servant in someone's house, that doesn't really... That's not sexy enough, I guess, for the articles that get printed. So probably the deal is that the articles are focusing on the ones that were famous. Maybe that's the deal.
I would think that with all the people I've regressed through the years, I have had some people have some amazing experiences. Some have gone back to the time of Jesus and actually seen what he looked like and had all wonderful experiences. And I had the same type of experience remembering that time period. And a lot of people will just go up and talk to angels and guides and go to what's called the Akashic Records.
All right, we have to step away for a break, and we'll pick up right there when we come back. Folks, more with Doug DeLong right after this.
And you're listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
All right, welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show. Quick reminder, get over to my website and get your ticket to the Alternative Universe Eye Conference. You're going to hate yourself if you miss this. And it's only $10, okay? Ticket sales close tomorrow. Get your ticket right now. You can do it while you're watching the show. All right. We're talking with Doug DeLong, and when we had to step away for break, Doug, you were just beginning to talk about people accessing the Akashic Records. Explain what that is.
The Akashic Records, or Universal Library, is a place up in the Heavenly Fields where you can actually go to experience, see your own soul records, your previous lifetimes and what's happening now, and possibly even in the future. It's almost like a library where everything that's ever been recorded is available. And sometimes when I do past life regression to people, train individuals to actually go up to the Akashic Records, and they have their own ability to go in, get the information that they need. It's like they look at a book or a scroll, and a video opens up where information comes through, and they start accessing a lot of information about their past lives, some events, and it's just a wonderful experience to be able to be a witness, an observer to all of it.
Now, if you had, let's say, you know, here's Doug DeLong over here in the USA, and you're doing a past life regression with someone, and let's say that person says that they, in a past life, were Pocahontas, okay? Now, and I'm using, I realize that, most of the people that you regress, as you've told us, were not someone famous, but I'm using a famous name so everybody knows who I'm talking about, and you can kind of see easier what my point is here. Okay, so you're regressing someone, and this person says, well, you know, I was Pocahontas. Now, around the globe, we'll say in Uzbekistan, someone is doing a past life regression, and in that past life regression, that person says, I was Pocahontas. Somebody's lying, right?
Someone's their imagination is running wild with them. A lot of times people will look at a past life, they'll come through and see it opening up in front of them like watching a play. Other times they step right into it and literally relive it as if they're right back then. And sometimes a person, when they're looking at the information, what's happening, they may be picking up and seeing someone like Pocahontas and just assuming, well, I'm Pocahontas. You have to remember, with our history, our writings, and everything else, people can be greatly influenced by it. Mm-hmm. But they may be greatly, really believe what they're seeing. Some cases, who knows, maybe the person actually was Pocahontas, but not always.
Mm-hmm.
Hope that mm-hmm. answers the question for you.
Yeah, and the point was, Pocahontas is one person who lived at one time. And therefore, you could not have two current souls claiming to have been that person. Because both souls, they can't both be true because both souls could not have been Pocahontas at the same time.
Yeah, I agree with that. There is a belief with what's called the Oversoul, or almost like a being up above controls five or six people that are all having similar past lives or remembering information. Mm-hmm. That's just something that I keep in mind.
Okay. Now, what's the benefit of doing a past life regression? Why would someone want to do that other than just curiosity? Is there any actual benefit to doing it?
Oh, there's many, many benefits to it. Sometimes your fears, your phobias, where you can find out where they come from. Some cases, your idiosyncrasies. I had one person that he came to see me. He ended up going under very easily. It's what I call an easy subject. He looked back to a past life at the time of the American West, and suddenly he had a Western drawl. He's talking about hiding behind a rock, afraid the Indians are going to get him. And he eventually decides to make a run for it. Now, he's got this big white Haas Cartwright hat on, and he keeps saying, stupid hat, stupid hat. So finally he says, yeah, with the drawl and the Western accent, jumps on his horse, starts riding away, and as he looks over his shoulder, he sees this Indian coming up from behind a rock with the bow and arrow, and he gets nailed in the shoulder in the back, and he feels himself falling off, and the dust, sweat, and he hits the dust, and as he's dying in that particular lifetime, what he says is, stupid hat. Now, when he comes out of the session, he says to me, oh, that's why I don't like hats or farm caps. All my men that work for me wear hats, and I don't. Mm-hmm. I won't wear them. So that's one example. Uh-huh. Another one for me would be a really good example. I have an absolute fear of tarantulas. And at one point, I ended up getting a flash in a past life where I was a Tomb Raider going in. I don't know whether it was Egypt or in the Central America. And I got in and got all the loot, as you might say. And as it was coming out, there was a booby trap. Suddenly I was caught, the rocks coming down. Next thing I remember seeing and feeling all these big, hairy tarantulas landing on me. And I woke up from that experience and it made me realize where part of that phobia, unfounded fear, came from.
Mm-hmm.
Other, you know, so there's many reasons. Like some people, they have a hard time with back pain, or they can use it for super learning. As they go back and get information, they're able to bring it forward and use it in this lifetime. An example would be Mozart, child prodigy. I'm pretty sure he may have been someone special in the past life, and that door, that veil was slightly open, and he was able to come back and remembering his information as perhaps the composer of the previous time. So there's many, many reasons for it. And also it's great for your spiritual development. It lets you know that you're eternal, you're here, you're a soul living within a physical body, and not just a body that has a soul. And when you recognize that, you can learn to be free, and the fear of death can be greatly dissipated. You recognize that there's a beautiful world waiting for you on the other side up in heaven. And once you go through everything here, there's nothing to fear. Sure, you'll have some pain or suffering sometimes, but a lot of times once you leave, it's much the same as being born. But it's also very, very similar to sleep. Sleep, death, and astral travel are all linked together. They're very, very close. When someone sleeps, they simply fall into this deep state, and their soul starts to slip out of their physical form. Now, there's something called spirit. You have soul and spirit. There's a difference between soul and spirit. People get that mixed up. They interchange the words. Soul is like a human soul. Spirit is the energy, the essence that keeps that soul within the physical body. In mystery schools and other beliefs, it's called the law of three, or the law of triangle. You need all three, body, soul, and spirit, to keep you together. Now, when someone is dying, they end up in the in-between world. You're here, floating out of their body back in, and they start to slip up, going up, talking to, or slip up, going up, talking to angels, loved ones have passed over. That's because that spirit energy, that essence, it's starting to dissipate, to move away. And then as the soul finally goes out, there's nothing there, like a magnetism or an essence, to keep the soul within the body.
So the spirit kind of serves the same function then, if I'm understanding what you're saying, kind of serves the same function as the cell membrane serves for the cell. The cell membrane is transparent or opaque, translucent, but it's very, very thin, and yet that's what keeps all the other stuff together in the cell. And if that membrane is ruptured or punctured, then what's in the inside the cell rushes out. That cell is no longer a functioning cell.
That's a great analogy. It's exactly the same concept, or very similar to it.
Okay, so when you die, now you gave us this example, your own example, your own story about a near-death experience. But when you die, how can I say this? We hear stories about people who they see light and they see this tunnel of light and they head through the tunnel of light and so forth. And we hear all of that, but we also hear about a lot of people that are still hanging around, and they haven't gone through a tunnel of light, and their soul or their spirit or their whatever is hanging around and still trying to communicate with people, and does communicate with people sometimes. What's that all about?
Well, in some cases, when someone's hanging on, there may be some reason they don't want to let go of their family. There may be an issue. And when they slip out, they're not ready to go back. They have to contact a loved one, a friend, to deal with it. I've felt the feelings of relatives when they passed over, coming around, I could smell my stepfather after he passed over. And he was around, there was an energy, he was trying to block my wife and I from selling our home because he didn't want us selling it. That was his belief structure. So that's just an example. But when they're ready, most souls will have a loved one, an angel, if you want to think of an angel of death or light, coming to them will actually help them up over to the other side. Because they go up through a higher vibration into the heavenly fields. But sometimes people get trapped. Of course, that's the scenario of a ghost. Someone that's stuck in a home, they're comfortable there and they don't want to leave. But in a lot of cases, the person, when they're ready, will actually slip out and go up to the heavenly fields. And just, there's some unfinished business. They're trying to talk to a relative. A lot of times the relative has a hard time believing that Mom, Pop, or Aunt Joe, or Aunt Katie, or Uncle Joe is around. They may have dreams, but in the dream, that's the way they will come through. And once that person is ready, they can move on. In some cases, they need assistance. They may have to ask for a special type of intervention, a medium, or someone that can come in and help them over. I've seen people when they're dying. One person, as soon as he was passing over, a beautiful shape of an angel came around and floated above him, and I saw his ethereal shape float out, and he was able to actually head up. So that's a great experience. I've seen people that have had cancer. I've been blessed to work with these wonderful people, and they've been able to astral travel, go up into the heavenly realms, talk to angels, guides, loved ones are passed over. So in essence, they're already going up, visiting heaven. And when they pass over, it's easier for them to actually leave. This wonderful lady had saw us for years. She had come to see us. She was a natural energy field. She had cancer, and she did a lot of energy work. She went into remission. She'd go up to the heavenly fields, got all sorts of information. Unfortunately, the cancer came back. But when it came back, she thought of it as a journey, a beautiful journey for her. And the day before she died, my wife and I came up to where she was lying. Her husband had requested us. She's lying in her bed in the living room, and flowers around her, and I can actually see this beautiful shape of a male angel floating above her, around her head, touching her. And on the other side of this bed was a beautiful shape that looked like a female, the essence of the energy. And I could feel this love and peace. And we had promised, my wife and I, that we would help her when she was ready to go.
All right, we have to step away for a break. We will be back right after this. We're talking about dying tonight, and maybe dying ain't dying. We'll be back right after this. This is Kevin Smith, and you are listening to The Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is none other than Doug DeLong, and we are talking about dying. It's a subject that a lot of people don't like to talk about. It's a subject that a lot of people are afraid to talk about. And yet, it's the only thing you were guaranteed when you got here. One day, we're all going to do it. It's the big event you've been headed for all your physical life. What comes after that? Anything? Doug says, yes, definitely something comes after that. All right, now, Doug, let me ask you a question. You've talked about people visiting heavenly realms and so forth, so let's talk about that. You know, for some people, the idea of sitting around on a cloud strumming a harp for, you know, the next 30 billion Earth years, that's not too exciting. Some people are looking forward to that, but some people are not looking forward to that. They don't find that to be very appetizing. What's going on in those heavenly realms that would make us want to go there?
What happens? You don't go up in your, as an angel strumming a harp. You're up there looking at your last lifetime, analyzing it, you're having guides and angels, your loved ones talking to you about it. You get up there, you do certain things. Perhaps if, say, you died quickly, or you had a cancer, you may end up in the hospital up there being looked after by special healers, angels, and beings of love and light. And when you get better, you actually go out to you doing some work up there. You may have a beautiful garden. The flowers up there are much better than they are here, even though they're gorgeous here. We live in a paradise. Up there, even more so. You're meeting with people, you're doing things. And when you're ready, because you're not fully enlightened, you will go to what I call the Logi, or Council of Beings, Angels and Spirit Guides. As much like looking again, like a Star Trek show, when the person's standing there with all these strange people with these outfits on, and they're talking to you, and you have another guy or angel with you, and they're telling you, okay, well, you've been here for so long, now you have to make a decision, almost like a contract, to come back and enter another lifetime and do it again. So you will repeat that lifetime, birth, death, rebirth, over and over until you get what I call getting it right. And it takes a long time. Eventually you will drop the heavy karma, the debt, and become more enlightened and have a wonderful experience, start seeing things on this planet in a different way, being able to help guide others, be truly a being of light and love, touching others. Mm-hmm. And that's the idea. You're up there for a certain point of time, and when you're ready, you come back. So you're not just up there being idle. You're doing many, many things.
So you're kind of like in Soul University?
That's one way of looking at it. Unfortunately, not everybody's in Soul University. Some of them are still in grade school when they're up there, and when they come back, if you get my drift. But the idea is they end up in university and graduating.
So,
stay up there.
Okay. So in the heavenly realms, is there a school where you learn how to come back down here and be a mushroom?
No. Now, I have to be careful when I say that. Everybody has their own belief, their own way of getting back to God and the Creator. Religions all have their truth within, and everybody has to choose their own way. Now, the Buddhists believe in reincarnation, just a little bit differently than I do. I believe a human, and I have my right to be entitled to it, I believe that a human soul is a human soul, and when they're ready to come back, they will come back in as a human soul.
Yeah, look around. Almost all the humans on this planet are like mental mushrooms.
Well, a lot of them are that way. But fortunately, our world is changing. You're getting more loving people opening up, seeing all those chakras, doing healing work, helping others, making it a better place. And that death, fear of death should let go. Our society for so very, very long, not all of it, but a good portion of it is looked at, oh, death. You know, I got to spend all this money and send Uncle Harry off. And we should recognize that it's a celebration of life. And look at it differently. That person is no longer here going through the trials and tribulations, the love, the joy, crying, laughing, caring, and is able to go up there and have a grief respite.
You know, that is interesting that you bring that up, because I've lived lots of different places around the world. And every culture has its own flavor, I guess you could say, of how they deal with death. Not just how I would personally deal with my death, but how people that are still here and alive deal with the death of someone that they loved or knew. Now, you may not know this. My wife is Thai. From Thailand, and in fact my home is in Thailand. Now, in Thailand it's mostly Buddhist, and where we live is rural, very rural, and my home is in a village in Thailand. When someone dies, everyone in the village comes to a party. And it really is. You know, everybody brings some food and they have a party. And at the home of the person who died with the relatives of the person who died. And they have the funeral. And, you know, the funeral, they build a pyre. And the body is burned. But that's the, and they have a Buddhist ceremony. But then the culture takes over, and that is they have a party, and it'll last for 2 or 3 days with the family. And so here we would say, leave me alone, I need time to grieve. And there they say, no, we're not going to leave you alone, you don't need to fall into this grief. Life goes on, and things there are still good things around you, and you still have friends around you. And so they keep this party going for, you know, 2 or 3 days. It's a different way of handling the aftermath of death.
I think it's great. Much like an Irish wake in some way.
In some ways, yeah. But no Guinness. Yeah, no, they don't have any Guinness. But the, yeah, it's the concept is, yes, you're sad. But it ain't over. And, you know, we're all sad to see him go or her go. But it's not over. We're all still here. We're still your friends. And, you know, we're still in this together with you. And I think it's a fantastic way of handling the aftermath of someone's death. And my father-in-law, died, several years ago. And, you know, they did all of this. And then, I learned something that I didn't know, and that is 1 year later, on the anniversary, they do it again. There's a party. But this time, yeah, this time the family sponsors the party. The family of the deceased sponsors the party and invites everyone in. Everybody brings food again. But, now they are hosting the party, and it's like them saying, thank you for helping me get through this year.
I think that's great. I just wish more people would look at things that way. You have to remember, when someone's been around you most of their lives, there's a bit of a selfishness that we all have within. Well, who's going to look after me? Or I don't want him or her to go away. You don't want that person to leave, and it's just a natural human condition. But we have to, that's part of the growing learning process, to get over it and be able to move on, knowing that that person is up there experiencing wonderful things. And just remember the person, the memories, the feelings that you had, and remember the times when you smiled and laughed and we did wonderful things. And if you look at it that way, it makes it a whole lot easier. The grieving process can go through very quickly and change.
Well, also, if you have a very close relationship with someone over a number of years, it's also sort of like you experience, the two of you experience sort of like quantum entanglement, kind of at a soul level or a spiritual level. You know, even though my wife and I are separated by thousands of miles, I can feel when something's not right. And, I, you know, well, we got to step away from break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're delighted to have you. And my sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away from that first hour, because I can tell you we've been talking about one of the most interesting topics that any of us ever face, and that is, what's next? What happens after this lifetime? And my guest is Doug DeLong, internationally known author, and that's what he writes about. That's what he talks about. And that's what we're going to continue to talk about. As we went away for break, Doug, I was saying that, you know, if you have a really close relationship with someone, after a while, after a number of years, it's kind of like quantum entanglement in that, if there's something wrong, I feel it. Now, she's thousands of miles away. She's at our home in Thailand. I'm over here doing the show. And yet, if there's something wrong, either with her or our son, I have a little 8-year-old boy, something wrong, I sense it. I feel it. So I know that if I were to lose either her or my son to some disease or some tragic accident, I would feel that, and I would feel it's the loss is not just that they're not here, it's that part of me's gone now. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Because we're more than just a physical body, we are attached on a psychic, spiritual level, emotionally with others, and distance doesn't play into this. You, as you said, you can be thousands of miles away. You can link with the person that you truly love.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at it that way, time and distance doesn't exist when we're dealing with these realms.
The soul, you're saying the soul is what continues on, and the spirit dissipates as we die. Is that right?
That's correct.
How do you know it's that way instead of the other way? How do you know it's? I mean, maybe it's the spirit that continues on and the soul dissipates.
Well, I'm going from the training I've had through many, many years and from the information that's been given to me and with angels and other beings talking to me. And when I watch someone, I'll see the soul slip out and I'll still see that spiritual essence around them. When I observe it, I can tell when they're getting ready to astral travel. There will be a shimmer and a light around them. Much the same as you look at a field, you can see the heat waves. Same idea, I'll see the shimmer, and then I will see the soul slip out of the body, and then float above and come back in. And I just know, on some level, that the spiritual energy is just there. It's everywhere. It's in the air that we breathe. It's in the rocks. It's in the trees. It's up above in the heavenly fields, and it's around and comes down through us and guides us and helps us.
Does the soul know who it is?
On some level, yes. They may not on a physical, conscious level, but they will know about that. I think I go into that a little bit about when my third book comes out, probably about this time next year. It's a North American release. The Reincarnation Case Studies, Near-Death Experiences. The title hasn't been finalized yet, but I will be covering a lot of this. Hopefully I can answer some questions for people in regards to that.
Well, I'll tell you something. I have, over the past several weeks, received several requests from listeners to do a show dealing with near-death experiences and what happens when we die. And, you know, it's kind of interesting that at about the same time, I got an email from you introducing you and your work to me and requesting, you know, to be on the show. It sort of just happened at the same time. Do you think there's anything metaphysical about that?
Well, I think there's a lot of synchronicity involved with things like this. It just isn't. Just doesn't come together because it comes together. There's something that actually happens. I felt the urge to contact you. I had a list of people, and I had it for some time, and I looked and said, okay. I had someone, a finger pointing at your name, and I followed up on it, and it came together. So I think we have help from above and angels and guides and loved ones, and we think of the light that's around us, and it's not all gloom and doom. We have help from above. We get the guidance, the intuition. Mm-hmm. That's needed to get us to where we are. So it was great that we connected like this. I feel blessed to be able to do that.
Okay. I'll tell you, I agree with that, and I would like to open the telephone lines and invite the audience to join in our conversation. So here's how you do it, folks. If you have any question, any comment about all of this stuff we're talking about, near-death experiences, what happens when you die, you got any question about that, you got any comment about that, then give us a call. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And if you are in the USA or Canada, please use the telephone number. Now, if you're outside of the USA or Canada, we have an additional option for you because it is expensive to make international long-distance calls. And that additional option is this. You can go to my website, scroll down, you'll see the link, right? You'll see the picture about tonight's show, and right above it, you'll see a link that says Flash Message, and you can use that to communicate with us as well, okay? All right, let's go to the telephone and caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hello, Steve.
Hey, and Greg, hello to you, too.
Doug.
It's Doug.
it's an important service that you're rendering to people. I've always found it tragic that we live in a culture that is so materialistically oriented that we stand in a position of denial when it comes to aging and death. As a nurse, and most of my experience being in intensive care settings, I've been at the bedsides of the dying and the dead more times than I care to recall. And I can tell you that as people get ready to die, and they know when they're going to die, you, as an ICU nurse, the rule that we follow, how do I know when a patient's getting ready to die? They tell us. They say, Steve, I'm just not going to make it. I'm going to die. And that patient is going to die. Now, the patients that have accepted it will pass very peaceably, and the patients who have not, who are fighting it, will die very, very difficult deaths. And let me add that that the patients, as they're getting ready to die, they as they enter the death process, they begin to see beings in the room. They're at their bedside. They begin to see angels or familiar people to them, and they begin to talk to them. They raise their hands as if someone is holding their hands. They become less engaged with this world, and they become more engaged with the other world. And it's not my place to say that they're hallucinating these things. You know, they see them. They see what they see, and because I don't see it with my physical eyes doesn't mean that whoever they're seeing or hearing from isn't there. I remember when my Oma Burkett passed. She died from cancer years and years and years ago. She saw her husband at the foot of her bed and would speak to him, you know, and she would revert back to her native language, which was German, and she would tell him, Nun Lawrence, es ist nicht meine Zeit noch. It's not my time, Lawrence, you know, and she would tell him that. And, we'd be sitting around the bed, and we come and pat her hand and say, you tell him, Grandma, you tell him, Oma. And let me suggest this, and this may take it in an entirely different direction. We here in this incarnation are kind of stuck in linear time, the illusion of linear time, where we perceive that the past is back there behind us somewhere, the future is up there in front of us somewhere, and the present is something that's always disappearing through our fingers. And I'm here to suggest that we not only have past lives, but we have concurrent lives lived in other dimensions. We're living several lives even as we speak. And lucid dreaming has revealed that to me. What do you think of that, Greg?
Doug, yeah. I agree with you. I want to, first of all, thank you for coming on air and letting people know about this. It just helps to add to it all. The lucid dream, yeah, I'm not exactly fully on board, but I agree to a certain point. Is that helping you there, Steve?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he answered. Yeah, he answered your question. Could you hear him?
Barely, but I barely heard him.
Okay, and by the way, his name is not Greg; it's Doug.
Doug. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm terribly sorry, Doug. I didn't mean to disrespect you, because
that's all right.
You're a very important person doing important work. But in the hypnagogic state, that's the state between waking and sleeping, where the veil is very thin, even for us who are stuck here in this third dimension of time and space, we can peer into other dimensions, other levels of vibration, where
yes.
We're living concurrent lives, and I'm thinking that past lives, future lives, and so on, that's all part of the illusion of time in the third dimensional realm. And I think our task is to get out of that third dimensional realm and start to see ourselves as more expansive beings living other lives. And I'll let you develop that if you want to, Doug, and I'll get off the line. I've already taken up too much of your time. This is a very important subject, and I know lots of people want to call in.
All right, thanks for the call.
We're all multidimensional.
So what about that when we're in this, I think you called it hypnagogic state, where we we're between sleeping and waking? Are we in a state where we can peer into other realms at that point?
Yes, when Steve explained it very, very well. When you get into that proper state, because you're multidimensional, your soul can split. You can go to different areas. You can go up to the heavenly fields. There's many, many places, events. We just barely touch the surface. So if you think of a human soul having all these gifts and abilities, it makes perfect sense to me. And I've seen a lot of people be able to do that. They can be here, and yet they're someplace else at the same time.
Okay, let's go back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Hello, Rusty.
Hello. Hello, Doug.
Hi, Rusty. How are you doing?
Good. When you was explaining early on about a soul that is not in human form yet, and they're kind of waiting on the other side to see when a baby's going to be born so they can enter the body, did I get that right?
What happens is the soul of that young soul will float around the mother, come in and out of the body, into the fetus, if you want to call, in and out, and the soul is there. Okay?
Okay. So, does in your view, then, does life begin at conception or at birth?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I'm going to leave that up to you to make that decision. I just believe that the human soul is around. I had someone a couple of times before ask me that, and we ended up getting off topic about reincarnation and death. And suddenly we're talking on a bit of a different subject matter. But I believe everyone has to look at their own beliefs and make that decision. But remember that you have that special essence, that eternal soul that's around, and go from there. So I can't really answer that. It's a very hard decision for me to mention to you. My personal belief, and again, it's my belief, when the soul comes into the physical form at birth and breathes in the air, that's when the soul and the physical body become one. Now, that's my belief, and that's where I'm at. I hope I answered that for you, Rustin.
Okay, good. Now, past life regression, if I have not done that, how can I know without belief, how can I know that that's real without having any belief, you know, because how can I know?
When you're ready, there's many, many books out there. You can pick up meditation CDs. You can talk to people that are spiritual teachers, someone that's had a past life experience, and some part of your brain will open up, your crown chakra and your third eye chakra, and your pineal and pituitary glands and other areas of the brain will start to reawaken. And as they become awakened, particularly the crown chakra, which is up top of the head, connects the pineal and pituitary, suddenly more of your gifts, your abilities within the brain start to open up. You start exploring things. So a lot of people use only a certain portion of their brain. And I'm not saying anything to slight you here, Rusty, but when you're ready, you'll step into it. You'll open up and experience things.
So is so are we all going to repeat this life? I mean, in your estimation, are we going to repeat it, or can we say, well, I don't want to go back to that?
Well, that brings up an interesting subject. I didn't want to come back the last time. I can remember, actually, my pre-birth being out there, and I felt like I was tricked into coming back, but I made that decision. But we all have to come back to learn and grow from it. And when we get to be what they call an enlightened master, an avatar, then our soul will go up there and we'll stay there. We may end up possibly guiding other individual souls up there. We may come down in a soul form to help others. But yes, you can't just stay up there. I'm not coming back. There's no way you can say, well, I'm having a tough enough time on this planet. When I go up there, why would I want to come back? But you have to look at the idea that you're here to grow and learn. And when you're ready, something will happen. You may get a tingling sensation on the top of your head. You may get some intuition, some type of profound experience may be able to awaken you, Rusty. And you go, oh, okay, now it's time. I've worked with a lot of people. Probably about 90% of the people I work with doing that technique will open up. There's a few people, they're blocked, they're not quite ready. And when you're ready, you'll know. Just try exploring it and keep your mind open. And my first book, not trying to flaunt it, well, I guess I am, but there's a chant in there that helps you open up your crown, third eye chakras, and start your mind and spiritual path. It's a kind of a fast track to getting to where you need to go. That's just a suggestion to you, Rusty.
Alrighty, thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for the call, Rusty. And by the way, folks, if you go to my website and scroll down till you see the picture about tonight's show, you'll see Doug's picture. If you click that, click his picture on my site, it will take you to his website. It is linked, okay? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Ryan in Petersound.
Hello, Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
Yeah, very fascinating topic. What fascinates me are the near-death cases where people who are blind from birth, and also cases near-death where they during their near-death experience, they see something or hear something that took place in another room. Well, there's one case that I've always been fascinated with of a lady who passed away in the hospital, and she floated out the window. There was a quarter on the windowsill, and she came back into her body and came back to life and reported what the quarter, what year the quarter was and stuff like that. But the question is, Can you explain again earlier when you said that you feel as if when we come into this life that our souls will find a pregnant woman and that sort of pre-life.
Ryan, he's starting to explain, so just hold up and listen, okay?
Okay, Ryan. Basically, when you're up there, you're talking to guides and angels, and you make arrangements to come back to find the right family, the right mother, male or female, the right country, and it's for your greatest spiritual growth. And then you say, okay, it's fine, and then you come back into that body, into the little body, your own soul, if you want to call it that. And then I just want to also stress that right now on our planet, we have the greatest opportunity for spiritual growth than we've ever had in the past. There's all these trials and tribulations, all these wonderful things happening. Vibrations are much higher.
Okay.
Okay, Kevin, I hope you do like maybe a small series on this topic. I think it's an important topic. It affects everybody, and I too am with the other listeners that add that suggestion to your suggestion box. Thanks for taking the call.
All right, thank you for the call. All right, 623-444-5889. We have a flash message from Dante in Italy, and Dante says, you know, that he is a religious person, and he is a Catholic, a practicing Catholic. And he says what you're saying about reincarnation makes sense to him, but how does that work with being a Catholic?
That's a very, very good question. I've had a lot of Catholics come to see me, people from all walks of life, different religions. And it fits in. It's your personal belief within. You can be a Catholic, devout, and still be able to look at this. There's, I talked about it in my first book, about there's mention of reincarnation that's hidden in there. There's, I can't remember what verse or chapter, but it talks about it. And if you just keep an open mind, Dante, and know that you can be a Catholic, caring and loving, and still be able to look at that. As I said, I've worked with countless number of Catholics and other Christians that were willing to share both.
Okay. Caller, are you willing to hang on till we come back from break?
Sure.
All right. You hang in there with your first up. We'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away.
Virginia, and you are smart because you are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
All right, welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Doug DeLong, and we have on the line with us a caller. So, caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry.
Hi. Doug, I got a couple of questions for you. Could you briefly explain what an angel looks like?
And oh, that's a good question. Okay. Do you have another part of the question?
Yeah, so you say there's a heaven, so is there a hell? You know, say like Hitler, Stalin, or whoever's killed millions of people, they're gonna be reincarnated?
Not necessarily. They're probably in the remedial school up in the heavens. Just, let you know that. No, angels, the way I've seen them, sometimes they look like watching that movie Ghost from Patrick Swayze way back. I'll see them in that shape. Sometimes they have wings, and sometimes it's just light and energy floating through the room, and I can feel and sense them. And you can tell when an angel's around you, there's a tremendous amount of energy. You want to cry, you're crying, top of your head opens up, this tremendous energy can rush right into you. I've had it happen several times. It's just an amazing experience. But when you're in the right state, for instance, I'll be sleeping and something wakes me up, and sure enough, I'll see this beautiful angel, male or female, floating by. And it's just an amazing experience. And sometimes I will see spirit guides that are associated with them come around as well. And it's just wonderful to be able to do that. I hope I have answered that for you.
Yes. I just wondered, are you in, I'm from Ohio, are you in this area by any chance?
Well, I'm in North America. I actually lived in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada. I've been all over North America. I lived in both countries. Half my family's American, the other half's Canadian, but I live in Saskatoon, Canada. So it's a little distance. But I also do things by phone, like this with Skype. So you can check me out if you want to.
Okay, you said something about the Akashic Record. If we're allowed to tap into that, why would we need to continue to come back to mature? And I'll listen offline. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks for
the call. Get someone, when they go up to the Akashic Records, sometimes they'll look at two or three or four past lives. It's even more successful for them than doing a one-on-one regression. They'll actually get a lot of information. But even though they get that information, they still have to work with you. You can't say, okay, I've got it, I'm ready to go back. You have to learn and grow. And just develop your abilities.
Okay. Telephone line is open. We have a flash message from Carl in Costa Rica. Please describe what it's like on the other side. Is it similar to our third dimension here on Earth? Are there mountains, rivers, lakes, oceans, blue sky, food, beverage, relationships, sex, entertainment like here? Fishing, golf, etc. do we see our relatives or parents, even if they have again reincarnated? Is there rain, wind? What are the temperatures, the colors? No one ever describes what it's really like there.
It's absolutely beautiful. I've been there, as I said, many, many times, and the mountains are even more incredible than the wondrous mountains we have here, the water, the sea, the trees, the air. And it's just an amazing experience. You can have with your mind, which is attached to your eternal soul, be up there just seeing wonderful things and enjoying life in that soul form. So in answer to the question, it's just an amazing place to be. You know, the colors on the flowers are even more brilliant. It's hard for me to explain it. And there are other areas or other dimensions up there where, as I said, my mother went to the healing hospital, and there's other areas where there's temples, beautiful, almost, for me, I see a lot of them like old Roman or Greek buildings, marble temples, healing centers, and flowers and trees, and beautiful places to walk. Some people have gone into seeing the beautiful gardens and also into crystal palaces and have amazing experiences. We all have, because we're so wonderful, all these gifts within, we can go up there and experience the things that are wonderful for us and just enjoy it. And again, it's just it's indescribable in some way.
All right, to the telephone caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Sky from Alabama.
Hello, Sky.
Hi, Sky.
How are you?
Great.
I was wanting to make a comment. First of all, the caller that was just on was asking, did maybe Hitler reincarnate, people like that? And I kind of think maybe, because I look at this like it's sort of an earth school, and he did teach a whole nation a lesson, didn't he?
A whole world.
I think, well, right. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking that, you know, I guess it depends on what your contract is when you come here. Maybe that was for a reason. Another thing, you know, it talks about reincarnation in the Bible.
Okay.
Yes, it does. A couple of places. I was mentioning my first book, Institute for Beginners, has some references to some of the information in the Bible.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right about this.
I believe in the, I think it was the 3rd century in the Council of, NICEA, I say Nice, but I know that's not correct, removed 300 passages of reincarnation from the Christian Bible.
Yes, they did. The Christian, or not Christian, but the, I guess the Christian church back then, the male patriarchs, the bishops all got together with Emperor, I forget his name.
Constantine.
Thank you. And they sat down and they went through and put everything onto the cutting floor. They edited everything they wanted out of it. And in particular, they edited a lot of information on reincarnation. Now, they did not take all of it out. And if you watch any archaeological shows and other interesting shows, you'll see that we've got the Gnostic Gospels out there. And I make references to the Gnostic Gospels, the ones that the Christian church back then tried to destroy and get rid of, because it was a different way of looking at spirituality and Christianity.
A lot of peace.
I'm sorry, we didn't catch that.
It's a shame that they removed it, because it does bring people, you know, it does bring a lot of people some peace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But if you recognize that there are books out there, the Gnostic Gospels, if you get a chance, look them up. There's a Gospel of Mary Magdalene. There's they're just amazing information. And it opens up, and you go, oh, okay, well, this is not just the Bible, this is a whole amazing other story here that shows you the spirituality of someone like Jesus being a master teacher.
Yes.
Okay, Sky, thanks for the call. Good points. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephones are open, and we're waiting to hear from you. 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Stuart.
Okay, Stuart.
From Illinois.
From Illinois. You're on the
air, Stuart.
I'd like to know his thoughts on walk-ins.
Oh, okay. I've had mixed feelings about that. I remember reading some other books years ago, and for some people out there, a walk-in is when someone's here physically, they get tired of being here, they make arrangements to have their soul leave and another soul step in. And I've got mixed feelings about that. Possibly it's true that that soul's not happy, he or she leaves a physical form, and another soul that's more developed, more enlightened, will come in. So just keep that in mind. But I also, I guess my belief is when someone's ready, the soul that's already within there, the true soul, the essence, will become more enlightened and become the greater person. So I guess you can look at it either way. I've got mixed feelings about walk-ins.
Very interesting. Thank you.
All right, Stuart, thank you for the call. 623-444-5889. Let me quickly check our flash message board and see if we have... Okay, it's clear. No one has flash messaged me in the last few minutes. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Doug. This is Victoria. I'm calling from Washington.
Hello, Victoria.
Hi. Great show tonight, and I, Kevin, I'd like to hear more, you know, in the future on this sometime. And I'm going to ask the question that probably is on other people's minds too.
Okay.
Have you ever, and I want to say one other thing too first. For anyone that isn't signed up for the iConference, do it. It is the best $10 you'll ever spend. So it's my, socks off time, folks. So please, you know, hurry up tonight before you go to bed, you know, before you go to work or whatever. Get in there and get your ticket because it's really worth it. Anyway, so my question to you, Doug, is, in your encounters, have you ever come across any what we would consider extraterrestrials or beings that, let's say, are not necessarily human-looking?
Sometimes, yes. I've had that experience, but it's rare. Usually it's angels and spirit guides, but I have seen extraterrestrials. And I'm getting tongue-tied here, but yes. And I've known a lot of other people have had those experiences. They're very real. They're here. And we know it's all part of, I guess, this great world.
Well, I've had a couple of, well, I've died a couple of times and had conversations. And I was under the impression that, kind of like you said, that they're... Well, there's someone, you know, in charge of directing or assisting, I should say, not directing, but assisting individuals who are getting ready to incarnate. And you know, I'm always wondering, because there's always these rumors that the extraterrestrials are sort of in charge of that. I'm wondering if they have anything to do, from your perspective, if they have anything to do with this process.
I believe some of them, the good ones, do. And I'm not that well versed on it, but there is some connection with some of the more enlightened ones that will help out. And, of course, they talk about the grays and other things as well. But I don't want to get on that subject. But I hope I'm answering your question for you, Victoria.
Yeah, well, I'd like to know more about it. So if you care to, you know, maybe, because I it's like, well, are they angels or are they ETs? I guess I'm kind of in this quandary, you know, on a personal level myself. And I don't know the answer to that, but you seem to be so much more experienced and well-versed in this. And I'll get off the line if you have any more comments. I'd appreciate it, and let someone else call in. Thank you so much.
You're
Bye,
welcome,
Kevin.
All right, thanks for the call. And, Doug, we can perhaps touch that here in just a moment, but we have to step away for a break right now. And, folks, we will be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Doug DeLong, internationally known author, and he writes about what he talks about. He talks about what he writes about. And tonight we are privileged to be able to talk with him about what's coming next. The telephone lines are open, and the telephone number is 623-444-5889. You can hit that from anywhere on this planet, probably from a few places off planet. Wherever you happen to be, if you want to join the conversation, you have a question or comment, give us a call. Now, Doug, Victoria brought up something, and I know we don't want to get bogged down in just talking about ETs. As you said, they are real. You have seen them. But now here's my question. Do they have a soul too?
Oh, of course. Everything has a soul. ETs, just because they're not in a human form doesn't mean they have their own souls, but they do. Same as cats and dogs have souls.
Okay, so here's the question. I thought you would say that. So here's the question. Caller, just hang on, caller. We'll get to you in just a second. So here's the question. If ETs have souls, we have souls, I would assume souls are souls, they're just souls. Okay, so do I ever come back, instead of coming back here, do I ever, like, come back to Zeta Reticuli as an ET?
There's a possibility. With all the people I've worked with, I have had a few actually have remembrance of past life recall of being in a previous lifetime. One particular one, a lady went back in time, and she saw a planet very similar to, say, Mars. It had red in it, and there was a big war and something happened. But she remembered it very, very clearly. So on some occasions, people will go to previous lifetimes on other planets. It's more of a rare event. Most of us come back here and over and over. We stick with good old planet Earth.
Okay. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name's Tony from Tennessee.
Hello, Tony.
Hey, Tony. Hi,
guys. Is there such a thing as karma? I mean, do we have to, like, atone for our sins, or is it just kind of... is there such a thing as sin? How does all that work?
Well, there's something called karma and dharma. Dharma is like good points in heaven. When you do wonderful things, you drop the heavy load and become more spiritually enlightened and learn. Karma is like having a heavy weight. You keep walking up a path trying to get back to the Creator. And as you go along, you're picking rocks up and putting into this backpack. And it gets heavier and heavier. And when you learn to recognize there's certain karmic debts, you can let that go. A lot of relationships are based on that. A lot of people come back and have love-hate relationships. They look at someone's eyes and they recognize that person. And then they repeat a similar lifetime. Perhaps they were married in the previous lifetime, they come back again, they're remarried, and they're repeating the same cycle, the same things. But once one of them recognizes, oh, okay, I'm doing a karmic thing over and over, I have to get rid of that karmic debt, and they say, okay, it's time to move on, and when they make that break, they can release some of that karma. Does that help you, Tony?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call. We have time for one more very quick call, if it comes in like right now, within the next few seconds. And then we're going to be too late to be able to respond. And here's the call. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Barrett from West Virginia.
Hello, Barrett.
Hey, Bear.
Hey, just real quick, I wanted to know Doug's take on twin flames and soulmates, and I'll take the answer off here.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Doug. What's your take on twin flames and soulmates?
Soulmates are someone that, well, say my wife and I were soulmates. We come back, we have such a connection, and we have such a familiarity. Twin flames, I'm not entirely certain about it. I've looked at it, so I really have to think about that one. So I'm trying to answer the question as best I can, but a lot of people, when they meet someone, they say, he or she is my soulmate, and may not necessarily be so. So twin flames, I'm...
Okay, so how do you know if it's really your soulmate?
Something deep down inside. You meet that person, you know that individual, you may have just met them, and suddenly you feel like you've known them for 100 years, and you're very comfortable, and you have a lot of similar interests, and you do things together, and you grow. And a soulmate is almost an attachment of you. That's your other half.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm sorry, I can't really answer on the other part of it as much as I would like to.
So now we'll have to do this fairly quickly because we're almost out of time, but let's talk about soulmates. So what happens if you have one person that truly, genuinely has that sense that this is my soulmate, and the other one says, hey, you know what? I'm looking around. What about that?
Well, I've seen people like that through the years, and usually the one that thinks that's the soulmate may end up moving on, or vice versa. Something about it. They'll either try to stay together, and one's more spiritually open and the other isn't. Sometimes they drift and fall apart, and they find somebody else that's their soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being a bit cynical, but I've seen it through the years.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of us have seen that, where you've got somebody that's just head over heels in love with somebody, they're married, and the other party is like, and it's an odd situation, but I think all of us have seen that. Doug, I want you to tell us pretty quickly the names of your books and where people can get them.
Okay, my first book is Ancient Teachings for Beginners. It's by Llewellyn Worldwide. You can pick them up pretty much any bookstore online. We have them available, signed copies here, Barnes & Noble, wherever. The second one is Ancient Healing Techniques, and same situation. It's available from my publisher, Llewellyn Worldwide, and bookstores, whether you're in California or whatever. You can go into one, or you can order them online. Now, my third book, as I said, won't be out until probably this time next year, and the title hasn't been finalized yet, but it will be on reincarnation case studies, near-death experiences, and the angels, and cancer.
Mm-hmm. And when you say people can get them online, you're talking about like at Amazon or Barnes & Noble, something like that?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Barnes & Noble, Amazon.
Okay.
Or just some stores. A lot of metaphysical stores carry my books.
All right, and if they buy them directly from you off of your website, then they can get an autographed copy, right?
Yeah, and I'll even say hello to them or to so-and-so and put some little thing in there for them.
Outstanding. Doug, I want to thank you for being with us this evening, and it's been fascinating, and I hope you will come back and be with us again.
I would love to come back, Kevin. Thank you once more for having me on the show. It was great.
Outstanding. If you will, just stay online with me for a moment so I can chat with you for just a moment after we land this flight of the Starship. Ladies and gentlemen, Doug DeLong, you asked for it, you got it, Toyota. I told you, if you send me suggestions, I do respond to them. And so if you've got a suggestion and there's any way I can possibly make it happen, I will try to make it happen, okay? I can't make it all happen. I don't have a perfect batting record here, but if there's any possibility, I'll make it happen. But you have to send it through our contact page on our website. Go to the contact page, click suggestion, and send it that way. Remember to get your tickets for the Alternative Universe Eye Conference. There's less than 24 hours now available for you to get your ticket for Saturday's conference. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.